Get Talent Podcast.
Sounds good. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of our new podcast. It is your host, Ben Cross, CEO of Glomo.
Danny Herskowitz, Director of Talent with Glomo.
Awesome. Two Glomo dudes here talking talent with you. Super excited about this podcast. Danny, why are we doing a podcast? Are there not enough podcasts in the world?
I don't even know what that means.
Not like this one. This one is going to be talking about recruitment, but specifically also within our industry, within Glomo mobility industry. It's going to be really good.
That's awesome. And episode one today is all about what is a recruiter. This is like recruitment 101. What is a recruiter? This shouldn't be hard, but it's a lot more complicated, I think, than people realize.
Yes.
Danny, what are the different types of recruiter out there?
Yeah, there's two main types of recruiters. So you have an internal recruiter, which is somebody that actually works for the company. And recruits internally.
Right.
And then you have an agency recruiter, which is what we do, a recruitment agent, which is an external provider for clients, for companies to help them recruit. So what happens is the agency recruiter and the internal recruiter usually partner together.
Okay. So why would a company have an internal recruiter and an external recruiter? Isn't that a little redundant? Do they do different things? How does that work together?
Yeah, the ideal situation is that the internal recruiter and the external recruiter are complementing each other and filling in the gaps. So an internal recruiter, they will spend their time working on a number of different positions. So they will be working on all types of roles. So that can be IT, that can be operations. There can be a lot of different roles that they're working on. What we do, where an agency can provide value, is on specialist recruitment. So in our case, specifically focused on a global mobility recruitment where we have that expertise and we can really help those internal recruiters.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And the way that I look at it is internal recruiters really focus on managing the process internally, i.e., you know, making sure that they're, you know, making sure that they're registered in their, you know, applicant tracking system, making sure that they are compliant, you know, from that standpoint, they're able to work, making sure that they're going through first, second, third interview processes and kind of complying with the company's process, interfacing with the hiring manager internally.
Yeah.
You know, doing all of that stuff, because an external recruiter, we may or may not deal with the hiring manager. We like to deal with hiring managers, but oftentimes we just work with the recruiter, right? Mm-hmm. And so we kind of partner in that way. Okay. Whereas an external recruiter deals externally.
Oh, well.
Right? So we're out there hunting and finding candidates, turning over every rock, you know? I mean, literally, we joke about this sometimes, like flying across the country, going to, you know, networking parties and events and, you know, meeting people and literally having face-to-face conversations confidentially with candidates to find those talents that aren't obvious, that aren't actively looking, that are just kind of out there being successful in their current role. And we literally go out and hunt them down. That's why that's why sometimes recruiters are called headhunters, right?
Right. I mean,
we go and hunt them down and find
right. them. Right. Exactly. I think that's the main thing. And I think a lot of times internal HR, you know, they work on a lot of other things. So not only, you know, those things are the process, but they might be involved in HR things and culture. You know, there's a lot of things on their
training.
Plate,
we see people that training. Also wear training hats as well.
Yeah.
We see, you know, they're involved in capacity planning, you know, for the future as well. I mean, obviously, you know, relocation and other types of assignments also oftentimes falls, you know, within smaller companies and in the talent department. So so that's kind of what a recruiter does. How is a really perfect relationship between an internal and an external recruiter, because you have these kind of two parties, and I got to think they're kind of wired differently. How do they work together well, in your opinion?
So they work well. I mean, our best relationships that we have are with clients who I would say really want to truly partner with us, right? So they really want to work with us. They value our expertise and they trust the quality of our resume. So that's like number one. Are they sort of bought into what we're doing? And I think that's the first thing. And then we can really go from there. I think the best ways that we can partner together and what we've seen is telling that story. So we will get, you know, the job brief from, or the, you know, the job description from the internal recruiter. They'll tell us about the profile of what they're looking for. Our job will then be to go out and find that profile for them. I think the biggest thing, and we've talked about this before, is making sure that we're on the same page. We understand the requirements. We understand what they need. And then there's a consistent communication between both ourselves and the internal HR or internal recruiter.
One of the things I like about, you know, watching your approach too, is like, you'll spend a lot of time on the culture of the company. You'll spend a lot of time talking to, you know, recruitment managers, talking to hiring managers, talking to other folks, you know, other stakeholders in the company, to really understand the culture of the company.
Yes.
And so that you can really sell that to the candidates that you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a few reasons. I think, you know, culture, you know, it's a kind of a buzzword that's used a lot, but really what it comes down to is this an environment that a person would fit in and want to work in? And is this a good fit for their company? Not only just from like a skill set standpoint, just overall, are they a good teammate? Are they going to get along with people? That's really important, because if you could communicate that to a candidate, explain to them your culture, really knowing the details of that, you have a better chance of influencing them or getting them excited to want to go on an interview with that client.
Right. Because we're not just selling raises. You know, I think you have to have another, I think it's really important, you know, at least in my opinion, I look at these situations and it's really important when I'm talking to a candidate that they're not just looking to get a raise. They're looking to go to a better culture. They're looking to have a better relationship with their boss. They're looking to be fast-tracked into management or mentored in a certain way, or, you know, expanding their scope of responsibility, right? They're looking for a new challenge or something else that's missing besides just compensation.
Yeah.
So I think that selling the culture is hugely important. For me, what I like, so how, you know, how you focus on culture, I like to focus on strategy. So I like to understand from like the CEO of our, you know, of our clients, like, what is your business strategy? What are you trying to do in the next 1 to 3 years, let's say? And I like to think strategically about what pieces they're missing or what competencies they're missing, and say, okay, I know you're hiring for an operations position, but based on the amount of business development you want to accomplish in the next 3 years, you're going to need someone who's also client facing. You're going to need someone who stood up in the boardroom and in a best in final, for instance, right? You know, just an example.
Marvelous.
So I like to think like strategically and like try to offer them like a little extra, you know, kind of idea and kind of consulting advice on, okay, I think, you know, this is a great person. Here's why they do this, this, and this, which you require, but they also do this, this, and this, which maybe you haven't even thought of. It's like next level.
Totally. Totally. And I think that's what's great about our team is we have those, you know, those two different areas, and we're just giving them that full service. We're really, you know,
yeah,
providing it from both angles. So one thing I think that's important to note, and people have asked me this before, is who gets paid?
That's a really good question.
Who pays the recruiter?
Everybody wants to know, how do y'all get paid?
Yeah.
You know, because let's be honest, right? Sometimes candidates are like, is it coming out of my salary? Wait,
how? Right. I get that all the time. Yeah.
If I work with you, am I going to make less money?
Yeah.
So recruiters get paid from their client. And the client is the hiring company. Hiring company hires external agency recruiters like us, i.e. headhunters, to go out and find the best and brightest talents to fill important jobs in the organization. And they do that because they know that we have a set of skills and networks and tools that maybe they don't have, or maybe frankly they don't have the time, you know, to implement. So we get paid by the hiring company. It does not affect a candidate's salary at all. They have, you know, companies have salary bands, you know, compensation bands to ensure equality, you know, equity across different, you know, different candidates. And so they don't vary from those. So I think there's a huge advantage, I think, from a candidate standpoint to working with a recruiter, though, because I think we have great access and great relationships with the talent department. And so our recommendation is trusted, frankly. That's pretty much the only people I work with is people that where we like trust one another.
Yeah.
And so if I take a look at Susie and I, you know, talk to her screener, know people that know Susie, and everything's coming back super positive, and I say, hey, you know, recruitment manager, I think you should talk to Susie because I think she's perfect for ABC role. They're going to like listen to that. So yeah. Instead of just like clicking submit and you're just one of 80 applicants, right? And you get lost in the shuffle, or maybe, you know, maybe some keyword searches start, you know, ferreting you out, filtering you out, you know, in the application process, you know, because that's how a lot of resumes are even reviewed now, is through like kind of keywords and everything. So you might be getting filtered out of there and not even seeing, you know, interviews. And so when we submit, because of that relationship that we have, and in fact, we've already screened these people, we're already vouching for them. I would say, what percentage of our candidates would get an interview, Danny? Of all the candidates you submit, what percentage
would
get an
interview?
I would
say 90%.
90%. So you submit 10 resumes to a recruiting manager or a hiring manager, and 9 out of 10 of them get an interview.
Yes.
What percentage would you say, this is like, let's just made up trivia day, hypothetical trivia day. Question number 2, what percentage of resumes submitted to online job postings get an interview?
That's a good question. I don't know.
If you were, gun to your head right now, if you were, you
know, I would say it's the opposite.
To 10%?
Yeah.
You're probably right. I think 10% even sounds high to me.
Yeah.
But like maybe like out of 80, like would 8 get an interview? I don't even know. Out of 80, 100 people apply, do 10 get an interview? I don't even know. Maybe like 5%.
I don't know either, but it's got to be, yeah.
It's probably is close to the inverse though.
Yeah.
It's probably like 5%.
I would agree with that too.
Yeah. So that right there, I mean, if you're a candidate, that's why you should partner with a recruiter.
Yes.
And frankly, if you're a hiring manager, that's why you need a recruiter too, because you're going to get 100 applications and they all look the same. They all look like a, you know, piece of paper. That's what they look like.
That's what it is, you know? Right? It's just a piece of paper.
It's just a piece of paper, but we help tell the story. So yeah. I think that's why you should partner with a recruiter.
Yes.
But that's my spiel. Yeah.
And I think it'd be good to talk about the two ways that we work with people. So there's contingency versus retained. Mm. So those are two different models that we work on.
Contingency versus retained. Mm. Sound like lawyers. Are we lawyers?
No, thankfully we're not.
But
yeah, there's two types, right?
So what does that mean? Contingency and retained. Fancy big words.
Yeah, so contingency recruitment is based on success of the hire. So we only get paid if we help them place the candidate, or we help them identify a candidate that is hired through them. And then retained is an upfront payment. It's a deposit that's made to the recruitment agency upfront at the beginning of the search.
Which do you think that hiring managers should utilize, should prefer?
Most of them don't want to pay us right away. So I would say that it depends on the situation, right? I would say that most of our work that we do is contingency, right? The majority of our work, I would say. We do work on some retained searches. I think in a case where, you know, you've got a really difficult search, you've went out to market and you're really struggling to find this candidate. And I think in that situation, it might be good to use a specialist and retain them for their services. Mm. And I think what the positive thing of that is there's a commitment there. It engages the recruiter, it engages the client, and their skin in the game. So in that situation, I think that it's good. I think it could work well. But I think there's many times where it's more equitable for us to work on contingency recruitment.
You know, it's so interesting. It's kind of counterintuitive, right? So retained, you have money up front, right? And contingency, you know, it's based on purely based on performance, almost like a commission, right? And I used to think that you want retained searches, right? You want guaranteed. You want to be guaranteed that the company's going to actually hire someone if you submit them. Because let's be honest, sometimes we submit candidates and they don't actually hire them. And it's like, that was annoying, right? But so you're like, well, at least if they give me a retainer, that won't happen, right?
Right.
But the flip side of that too is sometimes, you know, those retainers, you know, you kind of get stuck on working some searches that frankly, you know, they're not very good. Maybe the salary's below market. Maybe, you know, it's in a really tough geographic area where there's not a lot of talent and they're being very specific about who they want, you know, and then you kind of get stuck working on these searches because you have a retainer in place. And you kind of get tied sometimes to things that aren't really fruitful. So, you know, my mind has kind of changed on this, and I'm much more comfortable getting paid based on success, based contingent upon our placement. And frankly, and the rates are a little better too, you know? So that's my thought about it. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's before I joined Glomo, I was always focused on getting retainers. But, you know, I've seen just from the experiences that we've had, it's not always the best option. You know, maybe it is, but I would say for our business and what we're doing, I would say mostly it's contingent. I think the big thing for us is exclusivity. So
yes, way more important to me is exclusivity. You know, and a lot of recruiters out there might listen to this and then be like, well, no, you know, I only work on retainers, right? And on retained searches, you know, and that's cool. You know, I think the clients like also having the flexibility of knowing that they're only going to pay when they place somebody and they're not going to have a non-refundable retainer hanging out there. So I think it's more client friendly, you know, which we're always, you know, all about being easy to work with and client friendly. But you just said something there that's super powerful. Exclusive. You know, I think that's important. Why is it important to have exclusive searches, and what does that actually mean?
Yeah, so I guess going back to when I first started recruiting, you know, you ask a client, you're in a conversation with a potential client or a company as a recruiter, you're talking about the job, and then they say, great, we're going to give you a job, and we have, you know, three other recruiting companies that are working on it. And they think that's great because the more people that they have involved, the higher success rate they're going to have.
I know, they're so proud of themselves. Look at my talent supply chain. I've got three recruitment companies in a battle royale sending resumes.
Right, exactly.
It's like, so, you know what I don't want to do? Fight to the death over a resume.
Yes.
I'm gonna go over here where I don't have to club somebody over the head to submit you a resume and hopefully get an interview. I'm gonna go exactly where I can work like a human being.
Exactly. So yeah, I did that, you know, when I first started, and I think a lot of recruiters starting out in their careers end up working that way. And then you learn a little bit and you start to realize, wait a minute, I could be spending my time in a better way. And you know what? It benefits the client because a few things happen.
Why does it benefit the client? Because I think this is really important because I think it's counterintuitive. Why would this actually benefit the client to use one recruitment firm instead of two?
It would benefit the client because really what it comes down to is, you know, the message that you're sending to the market and how you're going to market. So if you've got multiple recruiters going out for the same jobs, it can get messy, right? For the same candidates, it can get very messy. So you've got people saying potentially different stories. They're interpreting it differently. So you've got, let's say, three different recruiters saying three different things to candidates, which is not good for the brand. The other thing that's not good is it actually disincentivizes the recruiter. So they're less engaged and they will not want to work on a search that the odds are of them feeling much lower. And then I think the best thing is if you're looking for a long-term partnership, you know, you want to work with one recruiter. You want them to know, like you were saying, their culture, their strategy, their company. And like we always say, you know, you can work with multiple recruiters and we don't necessarily want all of their jobs, but we want, you know, several jobs. We want a few positions that we can really go deep on and work on and as the exclusive agent with nobody else fighting for candidates with us.
Yeah, that's a great point, right? You can use multiple recruitment firms, but don't use them for the same job.
Yeah.
Get one that's maybe an IT recruitment firm. Get one that's maybe executive search. Get one that's maybe, you know, relocation, you know, related, unless you need to hire relocation executives and use your relocation specific one. You know, there is specialization. And I think that's important, but you're right. You know, having people who go into market, getting this, talking to the same candidate pool, you know, with different messages about, you know, what the job pays and how it reports and is it remote or is it in office? How often do they have to be, you know, what are the expectations around that? You know, all that kind of stuff is dangerous and confusing for the marketplace. And it's not good. I think you bring up some really good points there that should be considered. And I like what you said too about, you know, it's like, if I use three recruitment firms and it's like, do I want to be like one recruitment firm's first priority, or do I want to be the third priority of three recruitment firms? And I would argue you probably get more candidates being the first priority of one good recruitment firm than being the third priority of three. So, because I mean, let's face it. I mean, if you don't feel like you're going to place something because they're using someone else or they're, you know, actively competing against you, you like may not submit anything.
Yeah, agree.
And then what happens to the client? The client's like not getting any resumes. They're not getting, you know, the job filled. People inside the organization are like, how come that posting's been open for 60 days? What's going on? And then they like, you know, have you found anybody yet? I was like, oh, have you found anybody yet? Because I thought you were working on it with two other companies. I kind of assumed that you guys had it covered. So, I agree. Exclusivity is key. In fact, I wouldn't work without it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, I think that it's crucial for what we do. And let me ask you this. I was thinking about this with a lot of kind of the work that we're doing with our hiring managers. Now, do you think it is better in terms of partnering with a client? Do you think it is better for us to handle all communication with the candidate, or should the client be handling that communication? Or is there kind of like, what's the best way that we can communicate with candidates? Should the agency do everything?
I think that a lot of clients appreciate managing us and having us communicate things on their behalf. And I think they just like it until they're ready to hire someone. And then, you know, it's kind of funny. They don't want to get attached, right? They don't want to have to get attached and then not hire them, right? And once they want to hire them, then they're like, oh, don't worry, I can send the offer letter. Oh, I can take care of everything. I'll just copy you. And, you know, all of a sudden they get real communicative once they want to hire somebody. But until then, you know, it's kind of like, hey, can you tell him he's no longer being considered, please? It's like, no problem, boss. On it,
right?
You know, and so I think it's really up to it's really up to the client's preference. Mm-hmm. You know, we are there to make their job easier. So if they want us to handle all the communication, all the coordination, you know, happy to do that. If they have a process that's a little more engaged on their side, you know, it's really about complementing that internal recruitment process that they have. That's my take on it. I don't really have a strong opinion on it. What do you think, Danny?
Yeah, I think it depends on the client. Everyone's going to be different. Some clients like to have the full kind of control of the candidate process. And, you know, we'll work with one really great client who really likes us to screen and send the candidates. But then, you know, she'll like to include us in those emails and really walk that candidate through. She feels that it's easier for her. Some of them will do the scheduling for the clients. So there's different ways that we can work depending on, you know, what's going to be the easiest for the client.
Okay, so we talked a lot about, you know, what a recruiter does, what is the difference between agency recruitment and internal recruiters, why is it important for companies to work with recruiters, how do candidates work with recruiters, and why is it important as well. So hopefully this has given you a little more insight into recruitment in the global mobility industry and others. And, you know, of course, if we can answer any questions, let us know. We're going to be taking topics from you. So DM us if you've got topics or questions that we can answer. Can't wait to talk to y'all next time. Connect with us via email, ben@glomo.com or danny@glomo.com, or on LinkedIn, follow us for more content on recruiting in the global mobility space. Get Talent Podcast.